Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
Hello.
And Josh Brown.
Hello.
Hello. Now, across the last weekend, it was the DC Fandom Part 1, because they've split it in two. The next one's coming on September the 12th or something. But there was all sorts of stuff to dive into, obviously, because we're on What Culture Gaming. We're going to do the gaming stuff. And I did put a tweet out as well, asking what people's general thoughts were on Gotham Knights, the sort of standalone Arkham-style game that's like a four-person brawler thing, and also Rocksteady's Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. We're just going to do a big old melting pot of opinions. So we're going to start with Gotham Knights. Initial thoughts, where were you guys at on watching the reveal and everything? I know that you covered it on Sunday, Ewan, but are you still covering?
Yeah. I mean, everyone who's even vaguely familiar with like me will know that I've been waiting for this announcement for years and years now. And as someone whose favorite Arkham game was always Arkham Origins, ooh, spicy take, I was always looking forward to what WB Montreal had in store, you know, given how high profile all the leaks and cancellations regarding their other projects were. I was desperate and anxious to see what they had in store. So I'm really happy it's finally out there in the open.
How long have we been waiting?
A little bit trepidatious. Oh God, Arkham Origins came out in 2013, and then we thought that they were working on Suicide Squad. And in the period of time we've had since that game released, they worked on the DLC for Arkham Knight. They had a Suicide Squad game cancelled. They had the Damian Wayne game cancelled. There was those Arkham rumours as well relating to Batman and the Court of Owls. And now we've gotten into Gotham Knights, which is a brand new thing away from the previous Arkham continuity. Basically, the thing I'm trying to say here is that even though I potentially, you know, what could have been will always be more interesting to me, I think this is a very exciting direction for them to take. And again, I'm just relieved that it's out there in the open and it's actually happening. And there were definitely different parts of the reveal that got me very excited. And there was a point in the reveal where I was like, have they been bugging my conversations? Because one of my biggest criticisms of Arkham Knight was that I thought the opening act was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then I was kind of annoyed that they dangled the prospect of killing Batman right in front of my nose, and they didn't do it. And now we have a game where Batman is dead, you know, take that as you will, and you play as the Bat family, which is amazing to me because I love Dick Grayson, I love all these characters, and again, co-op, that was one thing that I really wanted from the Arkham games before, so I'm glad that it's only going to be two-player co-op as well, it's not four-player, so you can only join with one other person, which should incentivize, you know, that kind of intimacy in regards to how the story is being told. But on the whole, very excited, looking forward to seeing what they have in store, especially with the Bat cycle, but at the same time, kind of considering, oh, what could have been if maybe they'd been able to do a Damian Wayne Arkham game? And I'm still trying to reconcile all of this in my head with the fact that it's not set in the Arkhamverse, which I think makes perfect sense in Montreal as a studio, because their big criticism, you know, for Arkham Origins, even though the game was fantastic, was that, you know, it was still Rocksteady's baby and they were kind of messing around with it. And I'm trying to reconcile that with the fact that the Arkhamverse is still going with Suicide Squad, even though aesthetically it looks way different to the previous Arkham
games.
And I can't
really
quite wrap my head around why it's still set in the Arkhamverse. But anyway, I'll stop now. I'm excited. That's basically it.
Very excited, man. I will very quickly say that I'm not Ben Roy Turner, even though the label does say so in the corner of this frame. But I will say on behalf of Ben Roy Turner that he hates Gears of War and he wants the whole world to know. Josh, what did you think of Gotham Knights?
Well, Scott, like both of you, right, there was a moment late last week before fandom actually kicked off, and I saw that a bunch of stuff about Gotham Knights had leaked, like, online, and I realised at that point I didn't need to look at it. You know what I mean? We've been doing this for, what, 3-4 years now, like covering this insurgency game and what could have been. Yeah, and then I saw it so close to it being officially announced, and I thought, this is a chapter of my life that's over. And thankfully, I'm pleased, to be honest, but no, the Gotham Knights trailer, I thought, was, and the gameplay surprised me because we've covered it so much. I kind of had some of the excitement sapped out of me in a way because we've had, like Ewan said, a bunch of different potentials as to what this project could have been. And even though I'm still looking forward to this, it's kind of like I've heard so much about it. I just want to get it out of my system. But I was completely shocked by how kind of gripped I was by it, because I thought the framing device of Batman being dead or whatever was so kind of like confidently done. The presentation was so strong, the delivery was so strong, the idea of kind of having the Bat family come together, overcome their differences with Bruce especially, and kind of step up, I suppose, is a really interesting hook for me. And I, like Ewan said, I love the idea that it is one or two players and not kind of four. Like, you know, it's going to get comparisons to the Avengers because, of course, yeah, it is. So is Suicide Squad. But for me, I like that I can play it either solo or with one other person, and it doesn't rely on me on being online or having this multiplayer element. And I can hopefully get a lot out of it from a solo experience. When you saw riding through the streets of Gotham with pedestrians and the look of it, I just thought, this is so strong. This looks so good. I want to get lost in this world. Hopefully they do it well. I have a few, you know, niggles with the likes of the way they kind of introduced the leveling, and you've got like the little numbers and stuff, which is, yes, a pet peeve. But unlike the Avengers, keep going back to it, everything doesn't seem to be built around it in kind of such a surface level way here. I thought everything from the presentation of the Mr. Freeze fight to the Mr. Freeze level with everything icing over, I thought that had so much kind of inspiration behind it and creativity behind it that it kind of overcame what could be quite corporate mandated by the book's game design, or, you know, in the broad strokes, you know what I mean? It's kind of like when I saw Ghost of Tsushima and I thought, why are they taking all of these UI elements from Assassin's Creed? But then obviously you get the actual game in those are there, but he uses them in such a kind of confident and interesting way where it's more than just kind of what they reflect or what they kind of stand for, you know, if that makes sense.
I'm like hoping that going forward there'll be a push away from numerics, because it's, for me, that's some of the most outdated, off-putting stuff. Like I'll just be turning those things off. Like I don't want to see levels above people. I don't want to be, oh, that person's too high a level to stealth kill, like, but I've got a blade, let me stab them in the face with it. I always think that stuff's really weird, like that was just something that broke Assassin's Creed. So yeah, there was a couple of things I was going to throw in here from some of the Twitter replies from people offering their own thoughts and stuff. And this one's from JWT, who says, why are they going down the Assassin's Creed Odyssey route of enemies with levels, etc.? Sick of this being put in every action game now to keep people grinding. Dylan Todd said, it looks way too much like Marvel's Avengers for me not to be skeptical. Those level numbers and crafting materials got me shook. Which, that was the thing for me where I was like, oh God, don't make another one of these games. Because like Josh said, it's the way Avengers has done it is the most... It is, for me, it feels like the most corporate way you could have done that stuff, and to the point where the loot itself is invisible, but you are just grinding out numbers forever. And that stuff just feels off-putting. And like I said, I remember Assassin's Creed Origins, where it's like, oh, you can't actually stealth kill this guy because the level's too high. So I hope that they don't go down that route too much, and I hope it doesn't feel too grindy and things like that. But I mean, the combat, we know the combat is immaculate, and it's like all they need to do is really like vary up the character pool. And there is that distinction in terms of the level design where at least they've actually made levels and not just big open space.
I was going to say, I think the big thing for this, the idea of a leveling system and all that, I think it really lends itself well to an open world style game. And I say that because they bring in back, if you looked at the gameplay demo, they revealed the crimes in progress thing will be coming back from Batman Arkham Origins. So you'll have petty crimes to stop and then have obviously all the different villain storylines as well. I think if you can make it as organic as possible, it won't be an issue. And obviously, when we were talking about the Avengers game, I think months ago before the beta even dropped, there was that idea of, oh, if you can make this organic as if you're living in a real evolving open world where you have to react to different crimes with your friends and then level up that way, this could be very good. Obviously, playing the beta, you know, it is a little bit more restricted and isolated in terms of which environments do what, but I have no doubt that one of those Montreal can make this Gotham feel lived in and exciting to explore, and definitely, you know, make you inhabit that idea of, I am going to team up with my friends and basically look after Gotham in Batman's absence and really kind of sell that and integrate it, like you say, not just in a corporate way, but integrate it properly. Although I do think that, you know, it would be easy to look at how Warner Brothers have pursued both these games and taking, you know, obviously we all have rumors and conjecture regarding what happened to both Montreal and Rocksteady over the past, you know, 5 years or so. But at the end of the day, I still think both studios are incredibly talented and they can make it work. So yeah, that was my big excitement for this game, is that new interpretation of Batman kind of going in there. And hopefully they can make the, it'll integrate seamlessly.
Do you think it's weird the way that they've sort of, like, obviously I have a whole theory for how Arkham Knight's going to fold into Suicide Squad, which I'll get to in a bit, but do you think it's strange the way that they've opened with, like, hey, Batman is dead, like that was the big way Arkham Knight ended, but it's not in the Arkhamverse, and then they are carrying on the Arkhamverse with Suicide Squad, but that game looks completely different. Is it just kind of, they want to kind of have their cake and eat it too, like, hey, remember the Arkham games? We're kind of playing on that, but we're kind of not, in two different ways.
It was kind of odd watching it, mostly because I'd kind of forgotten the bulk of Arkham Knight's ending. So when I was going through it, I was kind of like wondering, is it tied to what's come before? And I was like, but the character models look completely different. It can't be. And obviously they explained that it's not, but they are kind of, you know, they know what the aesthetic is. They know what the brand is, and they're clearly not trying to move too far away from that. And I think for me, I'm kind of all right with that. As long as if it's inspired by the Arkham games, that's okay. But I think this is very much kind of doing its own thing where it counts, you know what I mean? Like with the designs of the characters or whatever, or like their integration into the story, and the fact that they aren't kind of weighed down by what came before, like you put it perfectly at the beginning, they're not just dabbling in Rocksteady's kind of playground or sandpit anymore. They can take inspiration from that, sure. They can have a identifiable superhero brand, sure, but they're not going to be constrained by what the big boys are doing, you know. They're not going to be constrained by someone else's mythology. They can ultimately, you know, be influenced by it if they want, but at the end of the day, have final say on what they can and can't do, which is, it's funny because the setup's quite, it's not similar to Avengers, but like they're both kind of treading in this kind of idea that a major character has died, you know, Batman has died, Captain America has died, and obviously they haven't, but it's kind of weird how when I was shown this in the Avengers, I was never convinced by it, and yet I've had a single trailer for Gotham Knights, and I buy into it, and I don't know what's fundamentally different. But I felt like everything with the Gotham Knights trailer felt more confident. It clicked more. The character models looked good. The world looked well realized. The story fit with that whole presentation style. It didn't seem like something that came after to kind of justify a progression system or something. And I might be totally wrong, but on first kind of impressions, I believed more in Gotham Knights.
The one thing that that's strange is, like, if you were, because I barely trust Warner Brothers to not be corporate as hell. Like, I just think that ever since they put microtransaction fatalities in Mortal Kombat, I was like, okay, like I see what you're doing. I think, you know, they had the whole orc loot boxes in Shadow of War, so it's like I don't trust them to not monetize the hell out of this. And it just made me wonder, like, you know, if you're those publishers and you're aware that the big Avengers game is coming at the end of this year, it's kind of strange, or it kind of lines up that both of their major DC properties, like this and Suicide Squad, are both, like, you know, almost squad-based games that are going to tap into or rival Avengers. Avengers reception hasn't been that great, so it's going to be kind of weird if that meets out in a strange way, like, you know, if the competition just isn't really there anymore. But this does feel more confident. But yeah, I kind of want more story from it. Like, I get the whole Protect Gotham thing, and I love that about Arkham Knight, and ping-ponging between different people, even though the all-in-one night thing felt a bit weird. But it did feel like you were protecting Gotham, and I like the idea of that. But like, what's the overarching thing other than just fighting waves of enemies or fighting a boss every now and then? Like, for me, there's gonna have to be something else.
Yeah, I mean, the Court of Owls are the perfect antagonist for this game. I'm really excited to see them actually be introduced and done well. And, you know, I think it's been heavily theorized at this point that, you know, if we're going to suspend our disbelief that Batman is dead, it looks almost like the Court of Owls might be involved in a little bit of resurrection there, because the Talons are basically undead assassins. And it wouldn't surprise me if maybe at the end of the game you fight an undead Batman and you snap him out of his brainwashing, and then he comes back and does that. But there's all sorts of different stuff going into here. We know for a fact that the Court of Owls, like I said, are a faction. We know that Mr. Freeze has his own thing going on. We know that there have been teasers for the League of Assassins, which I think might tie in potentially to Red Hood as well, given that they've confirmed in the bios that he was resurrected by Ra's al Ghul here, which was the thing that was introduced in the Under the Red Hood movie, then became a comics thing in 2011 with the New 52. And then there were teasers for Two-Face as well. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think if they can make it almost seem like, you know, Gotham is constantly threatening to spill over, but it's not going to be all in one night because I find that trope was done to death by the time we finished with Arkham. I just couldn't buy into the fact that Batman had done this literally this much in one night.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
You know, it's impossible. So I'm glad that we maybe get the idea of, you know, living that superhero fantasy over a period of time and really watching these characters grow over a longer period of time as well, not just processing stuff in one night. So yeah, again, and my favorite Batman stories tend to revolve around the Bat family and the idea that, you know, for as much as, you know, people tend to typecast Batman as a broody loner boy, he is also a big family man, and I like to see his legacy honored by these different characters. And also my last thing here, I'm going to be so annoyed if Batwoman is not in this game because Kate Kane is so cool, and there are so many different Bat family characters they could plug into here, but particularly Batwoman I think makes a lot of sense to include here if they do go down that route. They already teased Randy Montoya should have a little speaking cameo, so you know, hopefully the question gets in there too. I don't know, but again, I'm just excited.
That's the whole thing. If you've perfected this combat model, then why not? Like, it's there's enough of that sort of platform for content in a good way that you could sort of plug additional characters and storylines and stuff into it. And there was one quick thing I was going to mention, came from Stacey Kay, who said they're hoping the gameplay of Gotham Knights works similar to Shadow of Mordor, and that they nail the RPG elements like Shadow did, and we could be in for a very, very good game. If they screw it up, it'll be a huge letdown. But that comparison to Shadow of Mordor reminded me of the really old Batman game that got canned, the one that was initially going to be done by Monolith using the Shadow of Mordor tech. I think it was before Mordor, and the idea that Batman would like be using this sort of Joker gas or whatever it was to convince people to work for him, and it was all, you know, moving chess pieces around. It was like the Nemesis system in Mordor, and I kind of wonder if somewhere along the way those properties have came across and they've started to do that, because that was like, you know, we've had so many rumors across the last few years, but the idea of that's the way the open world would work, the city of Gotham is like constantly under different power structures and sort of back and forth and power vacuums, and you're responding to different things. I like the idea of that stuff, because Mordor always felt like you were interacting with a net of, you know, different characters that were sort of like rising and falling in terms of their influence. So it might be a way for them to go.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
It's a nice way to sort of make Gotham or whatever feel alive, you know what I mean? Like, when it comes to kind of these live service games or whatever, or something that is so open, sometimes it can feel like the world is static and you're literally just waiting to get your level up before you can go and take on Two-Face or whatever, who's level 30 because you're only level 15. And I feel
you're
like adding...
You're level 22,
this...
Josh.
Sorry? So, oh God. And I feel like adding this extra element, right? Adding this extra element of, you know, world building when it comes to like this nemesis system, or playing the chess piece of Gotham and having villains and lieutenants rise and fall. It's been done. It is a bit of a gimmick, but it's an easy way to make your world feel alive and breathing and reactive to what you're doing, and you're not just gating off content and then progressing to it and ignoring everything else you've done.
So many games, like, well, the Nemesis system has barely been iterated on. Like, obviously, they did it in Shadow of War. Mafia 3 has kind of a version of it in terms of the different lieutenants and stuff, but it's not the same. Like, the Shadow games did it so much better. It's such a great system to do stuff with. I just think that Shadow of War sort of just kind of shat the bed a little bit in terms of all the orc loot boxes and put a lot of people off. We should talk about the Suicide Squad game, though, considering that we've been waiting for Rocksteady's next project for, I mean, Arkham Knight was 2015, and there was apparently, like, you know, there was a Superman game with some point that got knocked back, and so they ended up doing the Suicide Squad thing. What were both you guys' initial thoughts on, because we only got a CG cutscene in the end, I thought they would do some gameplay, although I do think that the character model stuff is in game, or with the game, with the character models that they're going to use in engine. I hope that anyway. But what are you guys thinking of the way that they sort of showed it off after such a long time?
It was sometimes during the reveal, it was a little bit like the Futurama snoo-snoo gif. I've made that joke like three times across like different videos over the fandom thing, where it was like grinning, then grimacing, then grinning, then grimacing. And overall, I was very happy with what they showed off. My only doubt at the moment is the use of firearms for characters that doesn't make sense to have firearms with. Like, Captain Boomerang should not have a gun. King Shark is a shark. He doesn't need to use big cleavers or guns or whatever.
Let me very quickly outline one thing, because in the reveal, they barely said what the game is. You got very little from that CG trailer, but in the press release, it describes it as an action-adventure shooter with up to four players and online co-op.
Yeah, so in the full panel reveal, Sefton Hill, who is still the creative director, he mentioned that it's going to be a kind of like a third-person action game with third-person shooter elements, which is fine because, you know, the Suicide Squad, of course, many of the characters involved are going to use guns. That's a big thing with the team, you know, Deadshot, Harley Quinn, half the other characters that are going to be included eventually at some point, I imagine, as well. I just don't think it makes sense for every character to be given a gun. It's a weird design choice in my head. But again, the thing that really stood out to me with that reveal was how sharp the writing was. I went in to this reveal basically kind of being like, I really, really don't want an edgy, dark DC game. And I think it's, you know, for as much as I love Rocksteady as a studio, I do think that Arkham Knight veered too much. They indulged themselves too much with this like ultra grim, dark fantasy with Batman that I felt really leaned into some obnoxious tropes around the character. Not to say that the gameplay wasn't stellar, because it was, but I just thought that narratively it didn't really gel with me. And the same kind of alarm bells went off in my head when I saw the evil Superman and stuff. But, you know, even as much as I desperately want a happy Superman game, movie or whatever, or for something to really embrace the character's inherent, you know, inherent good nature. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was really funny the way they introduced him. The writing is so sharp. The voice acting is stellar as well. And I completely popped my ass off the bit where he comes up and King Shark's like, look, it's Superman. Superman is saving that pilot. And then literally just sees him get burnt alive. And he just goes, like that is really funny. And I'm really looking forward to the dialogue there. You know, we don't know much about the game, but, you know, in terms of an initial lineup, I'm very excited about that. And I think it's very funny, very charming, very witty. And again, I'm ultimately here for more DC experiences that I can play with my pals, because I enjoy playing with friends.
Josh, what was your takeaway?
I don't know, man. I keep going back and forth. On the one hand, like, in the moment, I was really hyped for it. But like, the more I think about it, I just don't know. Ultimately, I just need to see more. Like, judging on what we've seen so far, and in context of, you know, Rocksteady's history or whatever, I thought the trailer was pretty good. Like, I wasn't sure I was here for another story about Superman being brainwashed into being evil or anything like that. But I thought the banter between the Suicide Squad was like really well done. I thought it was quite sharp when it came to the jokes and the gags and Superman killing that dude. You know, for as much as we've seen that done, I thought they still managed to make it quite funny and quite fresh. Now, I'm here for the idea of hunting down the Justice League. I think that could add, you know, some interesting elements between the characters' relationships, as well as kind of Metropolis and your progression through it, taking each one down as a kind of boss or whatever. But there are some just kind of like weird and wonky elements that are inherent to the trailer and this game's announcement, I suppose. Like the whole shooter thing, I agree, it's kind of odd. The fact that it is, you know, four players, and I'm pretty sure you'll always have the full team around you, even if you're not playing co-op or multiplayer, whatever. Like, I can see
that gave me Division vibes.
Well, this is it. I can see the potential for it to go down a Division or Destiny route where you need kind of like these people, and it's going to be sort of a loot grind or whatever. But obviously, that's just my cynicism shining through. And obviously, it's the fact that this game is, what, 5 years out from Arkham Knight now, and it's got a 2022 release date, which is probably going to get pushed to 2023 because we know how these things work by now. And that's kind of a strange thing from an optics perspective, you know what I mean? Like, Rocksteady, this big studio, came out with three stellar Batman games on top of the world. They're nothing for kind of like 7 years. Like, it's we know, like, us three know, and the people who have been following this channel know that there's been a lot of inner turmoil when it comes to productions from both WB Montreal and Rocksteady. In fact, like, these games were more or less switched. Originally, WB Montreal was working on a Suicide Squad game. Now it's the other way around. We know this only got started properly at the end of 2016 and 2017, but it's kind of like, just because we know doesn't make it any kind of better.
It's still a strange time to unveil it when you don't have that much to show, considering the amount of time we've waited. I guess they could have maybe just held back a bit longer, but I guess at some point they're just like, it's been 5 years, like half a decade. Like, at some point we need to just let people know that something is coming. But yeah, the like the additional 2 year waiting time is obviously a bit of a sting, but you know, it'll always be worth it. It's always worth it to give games the time in the oven. But yeah, I mean, like I said before, like, I mean, the way that they're describing it, it's a signature character driven story gameplay with third person shooter action. And I just, it's very vague, but like, I still, they then got to say it's going to be an all new experience, which makes me think that they are taking the old school melee combat stuff, other stuff from the Arkham games, and adding in like third person shooting. And hopefully that hybrid is something that we quote unquote haven't seen before. But again, I just don't trust Warner Brothers. And there's a weird thing too, in terms of, you know, you cited like the switch over in production, and the fact that they've rebooted Suicide Squad in the movie, in the Hollywood, you can say, in the DCEU, on the big screen as well. That makes me think that Warner Brothers are just like, a Suicide Squad is our youthful franchise. We need to plug, this is our Guardians of the Galaxy. Yes. We need to do everything for this. And I don't buy that yet.
Because
of how much the movie was a failure. But yeah, I don't know if that comes across as well.
I mean, the synergy, the corporate synergy elements are definitely on display. You know, we have a Batman game releasing in 2021, the same year. But is the Batman coming out next year, or is it 2022?
I can't remember. 21 currently. Yeah.
So, like, we have a Batman game coming out the same year the Batman movie is out. I think the Suicide Squad also comes out next year. I can't remember now. I've completely lost all track of time again. Future, past, present, it means nothing anymore.
It's next year, yeah.
And then we've got a Suicide Squad game coming out of that. But yeah, I mean, obviously, we'll never know. I mean, until maybe, you know, years from now, where someone writes a big expose and actually went down at both studios when the games come out, and we have like the post-mortem on both of them. But, you know, we don't know what went down during the past, you know, 5 years. You know, for a fact, I think it's fairly concrete that Warner Brothers Montreal were working on Suicide Squad. WB, for whatever reason, weren't content with that, and now they've gone and done Gotham Knights, and after doing the Damian Wayne game, and it seems as though both projects were pushed, you know, into that place to ensure longevity in terms of, you know, that post-release cycle. And it's very easy to see both games as platforms that can then be built on. You know, Rocksteady are calling this a game that is story-driven, which is fine. I want to see, you could call the Avengers project or the upcoming Avengers game story-driven as well, but, you know, obviously you can talk about all the different things going on there. Yeah, I don't know. It is a very weird thing how it's kind of swapped around. And I feel as though, you know, the rumors going into this was that Warner Brothers were going to launch a brand new shared DC Games universe. But then that's not happening because they're maintaining the Arkhamverse. And then we're going to have Gotham Knights as well.
Like its own thing.
And it's the same thing that I'm kind of like trying to quantify in my head is that, yes, I think it's great that DC are adopting that multiverse approach when it comes to the films. But I don't think they have anything to lose when it comes to maybe bringing stuff together games wise and that's not to say that, you know, I don't want to see different studios coming with their own interpretations of these characters. I absolutely want to, and Gotham Knights is such a breath of fresh air in that regard. Visually, it just looks so colorful and bright and comic booky, which I'm very here for. But so does the Suicide Squad, and it's just weird in my head because we know that Warner Brothers Montreal also have another project on the go as well, which could be Justice League potentially. We know that they have another project in store. They reference the Justice League in Gotham Knights' like little character bios, like Robin's using Justice League Watchtower tech to get around or whatever. So again, the strategy is difficult to discern from where I'm standing. I just hope at the end of the day both games are great, but it is a little difficult to wrap my head around, especially when, you know, us three have kind of been trying to pick apart every single little detail and and what's happened and what's been cancelled and what hasn't gone through, and trying to figure out the thought processes from the publishers in regards to that. I don't know.
My thing is just, like I said, I just don't trust Warner Brothers. I think there's a lot of companies trying to chase the squad shooter thing at the minute. Like, obviously, ever since Destiny, Avengers has very much gone down that route. Anthem tried it as well. It's a very bankable thing if you can get it right, but there are so many failures in the attempt to get that stuff right. Like, it's not called Warzone. What's that thing that blew up that I can't think of the name of that begins with a W? Josh? What's it called?
Which thing? I don't know which thing this is.
Warframe is the thing I was trying to think of. Warframe took the hell off, and that thing's been a big deal for a while. And I think a lot of people are trying to chase that because that's still in the Steam top 10 and has been for years. Speaking of figuring out thought processes, I'm going to throw a theory at you. Because Suicide Squad does take place after Arkham Knight, or at least it's in the Arkhamverse. Let's assume that it's after Arkham Knight when Batman is quote-unquote dead. Although he then does come back in the true ending, the 100% completion ending for Arkham Knight, being a bit wacky, using the Scarecrow toxins or whatever to freak out some bandit people and save some people, and the game just sort of ends the true ending with him being this like monstrous spectral version of himself. What if Brainiac was in control the whole time, and what if that's their pivot into the Suicide Squad, and actually the reason he was insane, the reason all the fans didn't like it, doesn't matter because it was Brainiac. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it seems neat enough. I have no major problems with that. You know what I mean? If you can pull that off and get some kind of connective tissue to that ending of this game, by all means,
they mentioned that Superman exists. Obviously, they mentioned like Green Arrow and there's other people as well. But like, you know, they might as well. Otherwise, there's not much point in tying it to the Arkhamverse because they look completely different. My spicy take is that when I looked at that footage, if you told me it was a Fortnite DLC pack, I would have believed you. Like, that was my thing, because it does look hyper colorful, and that's great. But like, it needs more of an identity, I think, which it can get in terms of gameplay mechanics and tying it to the Arkhamverse, which for as much as, like, you know, you said, Ewan, like, they went down that sort of more almost like morose tone, at least it was Rocksteady's to some degree anyway, at least in the game space.
Yeah, I mean, I think from that trailer, I thought captured the nature of the Suicide Squad pretty well, to be fair. And, you know, the whole deal with the team, you know, Dirty Dozen style premise where you get bad people to do ostensibly good to morally ambiguous things. And I guess the main thing holding me back, and it's not that I'm not looking forward to the game because I am, it's just that there are certain decisions that I'm not too just keen on. I feel as though Brainiac as the villain is a little bit weird. After Injustice 2 had Brainiac as the villain, I feel as though an evil Superman story is a little bit weird, given that both Injustice games had an evil Superman. We had Brightburn the other year. And Injustice League, you know, he comes back as an evil bad man for a little bit as well. So again, you know, I totally have full faith that Rocksteady can make those narrative choices work and really own them and stuff. But, you know, if I'm going to be a little childish brat about it, I'm just going to say it's not potentially the game that I would have asked for. I would have probably wanted something else. But at the same time, you know, I thought the trailer was really funny. I'm looking forward to playing the ever-loving crap out of King Shark, because I'm just enjoying all the King Shark content we're getting
shark.
Everywhere.
Give your shark
it's,
to
oh, it's down there. Okay. He's resting. I don't know. I'm still excited. I'm making it sound as though I'm quite down on it, but I don't know. Like,
it was like a mixed bag reveal. Like, you want to be psyched for it. I think, as someone who doesn't know anything about the Suicide Squad, in terms of my reference point is the movie, the terrible movie from a couple of years ago, which obviously did a massive disservice to what that IP should be. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's it. Like, you know, in terms of trying to sell me on these characters, like, you know, I fought Deadshot in some Arkham games, but, like, you know, it's very little. So, like, in terms of releasing something now and being like, this is why you need to care, it didn't massively grab me, other than, yeah, a giant shark in some pants is cool, but I'm going to need a little bit more going forward. But I think they need to just show some gameplay. I have to assume it's in a pretty rough state if they couldn't show anything at all, unless that has been more, you know, they're going to hold back until it's nearer the release date. And what are your closing thoughts on the fandom stuff to sort of round it out? Are you looking forward to part two? Do you think we'll get more stuff? Because they have said that they're doing a 24-hour thing and video games are part of that. So I kind of thought maybe they're holding back on the gameplay portion until the next time.
It was a cool endeavor, I thought. I didn't actually watch much of it, but the idea of, like, dominating that weekend in terms of news and having all of these genuinely high-profile, mostly very good trailers and reveals, like, considering we're in a year without, you know, a proper E3 and Comic-Con kind of, like, came and went, I think this, across all of the different industries and mediums, was the most confident, well-put-together reveal that we've had, like, so far. And I think this could set a precedent, hopefully, for other companies going forward, because it didn't feel slight. It felt big. It felt impactful. And for the first time in a long time, I actually felt normal waking up to, like, news that wasn't just abhorrent, abject misery. There were a few little nuggets of niceness in there about Gotham Knights, or, you know, silly things that are ultimately inconsequential in the grand scheme of things, but which did make me feel like a human being.
That's a good point. I think for us especially, you know, it's very unlikely that we'll get to go to an American Comic-Con style thing anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it was a great celebration of DC. I was very kind of, there was lots of different things that happened in the build-up to the event that kind of took the shine off it for me. Me and Josh reported the other week on What Culture Comics about the numerous layoffs that have hit the comics side of things. But I was pleasantly surprised to see the comics given plenty of spotlight at the event. You know, we had a lot of panels and stuff that really kind of, you know, the second panel that they had was about, you know, the Sandman universe with Neil Gaiman. So that was pretty impressive. And we had bits of announcements about Milestone Media coming back or whatever. I definitely want to see it again. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what they have in store at part two. I would doubt that we'd get any Suicide Squad gameplay for now, because in my mind, you know, in terms of looking at how Warner Brothers are going to market their upcoming games, it makes much more sense to really hammer home Gotham Knights. And then, you know, I definitely think the Suicide Squad announcement was just to be like, you know, a relief. It's out in the open now. This is a thing. It's actually happening. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas Gotham Knights is obviously, you know, more along in terms of production. So I'm not expecting as many big bombshell announcements in the next one, but certainly going forward, I would like to see more of these things, regardless of some of the cringe that went on with the Snyder Cut and other stuff.
That's what I was going to say, the Will Arnett stuff after the Suicide Squad trailer, where they're just on the phone to him and stuff. I was like, I don't need this. No one needs this. We're only waiting for more gameplay. Mm-hmm. But it definitely proves to any company like that you can absolutely dominate a media cycle for a short portion of time, providing you can, you know, line up enough things in a row. The next event is, I think it's September 12th for the other half, and we'll keep an eye on stuff. But let us know what you think down in the comments below. What did you think of the DC fandom, and what do you think of Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad? Kill the Justice League from what you've seen so far. For now, this has been the War Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
Bye.
And Josh Brown.
Farewell.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye. So long. Farewell. Godspeed. Goodbye.
0Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.